My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ our Savior, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you do when something breaks around the house? Do you hope that somehow it will mysteriously and magically fix itself, so you just ignore it until it does? If so, I'd really like to know how that works out for you. Instead, are you one of the people who says, no matter what it is, and no matter how it may be broken, I'm going to try to fix it, I'm going to find a way, and we'll make it work like it's supposed to? Or are you more like me and what I think is the average American who just throws it out and goes out and buys something new? And what's the purpose of holding on to something that doesn't quite work right? Now, I get it, if it's a big item, if it's something that can be easily fixed, of taking the time. But for the most part, if it's something that you need and something that's just not worth the time investment, you replace it. Who holds on to a toaster that constantly burns their toast every morning when set on the lowest setting? It's not worth it. Just get it new. As we take a look at our gospel lesson for today, we get an opportunity to hear what it is that Jesus encourages from his disciples. And I have to admit that after reading through it, I'm really glad God doesn't think like we think. Because if we have in our mindset that when something's not working, when something's no longer serving its purpose, that we need to find something that will and replace it, and then we realize that God sent us into this world with a purpose, and we haven't always done the best in fulfilling it, and yet God doesn't say, well, just get rid of them, and I'll find new people. Instead, in love and in grace and through our Savior Jesus Christ, He patiently works with us, He encourages us, and He leads us to be able to fulfill the purpose for which we were called, the purpose that we were sent. We as Jesus' disciples have purpose, something to work for, just to wander around aimlessly every day. We have purpose. And Jesus tells his disciples here as we take a look at Matthew's gospel what our purpose is. But I want us all to realize that as he's telling us our purpose, he at the same time is convicting us of those times when we haven't fulfilled it. Really, what Jesus says is you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And he wants you to go out and to fulfill your purpose. In fact, what Jesus really says is that we were sent to season, so let loose that light. Jesus was in the midst of explaining to all of his disciples exactly what it is that he expected out of them, and particularly what they would need to be and what they would need to do when he no longer was with them. The 3 years that Jesus was with his disciples, he took that time to make sure they would realize and be fully equipped to be able to proclaim the gospel when he was gone. And he starts out talking about something that might be a little odd. In fact, this is what Matthew's gospel records. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its flavor, how will it become salty again? Then it is no good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by people." I think we have a different idea about salt today than probably the people at Jesus' day. Now, at least for me, what is the primary use of salt in life? You use it to season your food. They give it a little flavor. Back in Jesus' day, it would have done that, but only kind of as a secondary thought. They needed to use it for preservatives. They had to use salt to keep things from spoiling. There's no refrigerators. There's no way of keeping something from spoiling if they wanted to. They don't have the modern convenience that we do today. And so if they wanted to keep it good, that they had to use a preservative and salt. It might still be used a little bit like that today, but we have other means. So when Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth, really what he's saying is you're supposed to be the ones who's preserving the earth, keeping it the way it was supposed to be, the way that I intended it to be. Can't say that is what's really happening. Can you? That this world is being kept the way that God would have it be kept? That it's proclaiming the message that God would have it proclaim? Why? It's because salt loses its saltiness. That's the odd statement. How can salt lose that which makes it what it is? You have to understand that when they're talking about salt there, they're talking about raw salt. It's not refined like we know it now. In fact, when they would have pulled up that salt, it would have been mixed with a lot of sediment, a lot of debris. You get a little moisture in there, and all of a sudden, the thing that makes salt be able to preserve gets washed away, and all you've got left is dirt. It's not really going to help much when you're trying to preserve something, is it? That's why the statement comes, all it's good for then is to throw it out and put it on your roads and let it be trampled underfoot, because all it's left is dirt. It's lost what makes it what it was. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. We have a purpose. We are meant to preserve the Word of God here in this world within the hearts and minds of people, to make it so that this is a world that is dedicated to God's glory, that we get an opportunity to proclaim that gospel. How do we always do on that? Can we say that we're as salty as we're supposed to be? And then all of a sudden we hear the word and we say, you know, I trust in its truth. I trust in what it says. But all those other religions out there, the ones that don't proclaim Jesus, the ones that don't hold the Bible as being the truth, well, you know what? There's some good things there too. That's the prevailing thought in our world right now, even among Christianity. There's some good things there too. In fact, you know, they know how to be good people, and look at how wonderful they are. They're just great neighbors. Well, they must have some merit in what they believe. Or I don't want to get in the middle of that. Why should I have to worry about that kind of confrontation? Maybe they won't like me anymore. Just let them believe whatever they want to believe. Let them think that God is whoever they think God should be. That's okay. That's not what we were sent for. That wasn't our purpose. That's not preserving this world in the truth of God's Word. And can we really say with a clear conscience that if Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one will come to the Father except through me, that we're okay allowing this world to just say, they can believe whatever they want, knowing full well that it leads to death and hell? He says, you are the salt of the earth. Your intent and purpose is to keep the Word pure, to preserve His truth so that people will know Him and live. And you'll notice, Jesus doesn't say you can be, or you might be, or you will be. He says you are the salt of the earth. There's no getting out of that. Whether you want to or not, this is who you are as a disciple of Jesus. What good is it if we fail at our purpose, that the Word of God would be proclaimed that people may know Him? What purpose then do we serve? We have to be who we are. We're disciples of Christ sent to preserve the world that they may know Jesus. In a similar way, Matthew continues, because in fact the next thing that he says really has to do with the same thing. He said, you are the light of the world. A city located on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in people's presence so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's a little silly, isn't it, to think that we would light a light? You flip the lights on in your house, but then you put that thick black tarp over it so that no one can make use of it. Why would you ever do that? It's the same thing. Why would you light a lamp, put it under a basket, so that it all of a sudden blocks out all the light? All you're doing is wasting oil. There's no purpose to it anymore. The purpose of the light is to give light. We don't do that. We stick it on that stand. You put it up in the ceiling. We hang it. And when that light is doing that, When it is simply being what it is, it will serve its purpose and it can't be ignored. I like the idea that it talks about, that a city on a hill can't be hidden. You ever come middle of the night up to a city that's just off in the distance, up on a hill, and all the lights are shining? I don't know if you have an experience like that, but I always do, because I remember for several years going to Martin Luther College in New Ulm, and you'd go on Highway 14 as you'd come around that corner, there it would be. And it was always dark because it was a 14-hour drive. But there it was, and it would shine in the distance. Oh, it was beautiful. Jerusalem was known as being a city on a hill. And even without high-powered light bulbs like we have now, it would have been seen. If a single light was burning anywhere, they would have seen it for miles around. Because you can't hide that. It's there. We cannot hide who we are. And why would we want to? Why would we want to deny the fact that we are, as Jesus himself says, the light of the world? Why would we not want to be out in this world to proclaim the brightness of God's glory so that the world will see him? What good is it to hide? But I think, again, that's what we gravitate to, isn't it? We want to hide. I don't want to be the center of attention. I don't want everyone to see me. I don't want to stand up and proclaim Jesus, because then I'm really afraid maybe somebody will disagree. Or maybe I'll get ridiculed. It's much easier for me to sit here and cower in the corner and hope that nobody notices. I hide my light under that basket. It's not our purpose. That's not what Jesus saved us for. And it's not why he sent us out. He sent us out that we could reflect his light in the world. What a beautiful thought. The Son of God shines brightly all the time. But in the darkness of this world, when it is night, the sun cannot be seen. So he sends us to be like a moon, to reflect the light, so that the world may know him. We can't stop being what we are. And we wouldn't want to. No one's going to do these things. No one's going to make it so that the salt can't preserve. No one's going to want that light not to shine out. Because we want now, as forgiven children of Christ, to be his messengers in the world. Don't shy away from that. Don't be embarrassed by that. There's no reason to be. We have a God who is so great and who is so mighty that he has taken away our sins. We have a Savior Jesus who was willing to die on a cross that we are forgiven. That's not something to be ashamed of. That is something to be so proud of that we can't keep it in. So the world may reject it. So they may want nothing to do with him. That's their fault and failure, not ours. And that's on them. And they'll have to deal with the consequences of that. But what about the times when our shyness, or when our embarrassment, or when our sin gets the best of us? We don't want to preserve, and we don't want to shine. The times that we had the opportunity and we failed. That's the joy of being saved. Because Jesus died on a cross to take those sins away too. And to give us fresh opportunities, new chances to proclaim that message and to fulfill the purpose for which he sent us. We have a purpose. So let's do it. Preserve the word so that the world may know the truth of God's grace. Shine forth with his love in the world. Let the world see how he has affected us so that it can affect them too. This is our purpose as disciples of Christ. So let loose that light of Christ. It's worth it. Amen.